Can't feel a thing. Did Aven try to reclaim the weapon? Kaya asked. Alex strained her memory. He said, "Come, Aenara," as if he expected something to happen, but it didn't do anything. That made him a little angry. How interesting, Roka said, rubbing his chin thoughtfully. Is anyone going to tell me what's going on? Alex asked. They looked at each other before Roka answered. I'm sorry, Alex, but I don't think we should talk about this until we have more information. Surprise, surprise, she mumbled. More secrets. It's for your own protection, Roka assured her. If you're truly capable of wielding Aenara, then the threat you pose to our city, and the threat Aven will consider you to be to him directly, has just increased tenfold. We can't let anyone else find out about this until we know if our presumptions are correct. Alex glanced between them, frowning slightly. I don't understand. Zane barked out a laugh, diverting her attention to him. That's because you're about to drop dead on your feet. She shot him an unimpressed look. Someone did drag me out of bed in the middle of the night. And I'm sure that same someone is more than willing to escort you back right now, Roka said with an indulgent smile. Unless there's anything else you want to discuss? Nope, Alex said. The only questions I have seem to be ones you can't answer. Alex, don't worry, Roka, she gently but firmly interrupted. I get it, really, and I appreciate you looking out for me, even if I don't understand why. He nodded in acknowledgement and stood, offering her his hand. One last thing, Roka said as he led her to the door. As you're aware, Aven's plans to infiltrate Maya rely on you getting him here through the library. I was only able to convince the council to let you remain at Acarne by assuring them that you wouldn't open a doorway through to Raelia again. Alex couldn't hide her disappointment. Are you saying I can't come back? Roka curled his arm around her shoulders. Of course you can, but until we have a better idea of Aven's plans, you'll have to journey here using the Volispath. But I can't access the Volispath. Human, remember? The prince grinned. No, but Zane can. Alex looked from his brilliant smile to Kaya's sparkling emerald eyes and Zane's highly amused expression before she repeated, for the billionth time that night. I don't understand. Roka chuckled at her confusion and said, I visited your headmaster earlier in the week. Together we negotiated for Zane to take on the role of teaching assistant in your combat class. He'll be accompanying you back to the academy for the time being, and acting as a go-between for communication. Alex couldn't hide her dismay. Please tell me you haven't assigned me a bodyguard. Not cool, Roka. The three Mayarans laughed at her obvious displeasure. I have better things to do than babysit a mortal, Zane said. You'll barely see me. Zane's teaching position will allow him some anonymity while he carries out a different mission objective, Roka explained. His true task is to unveil Aven's plans, or at least attempt as much, and hopefully without gaining my brother's notice. Oh, Alex said. I guess that's okay. I'm glad you approve, Zane said, his eyes still laughing at her. Sorry if this seems blunt, Alex said, taking in the massive guard's appearance. But how do you plan on keeping your anonymity when you look like you do? You're kind of like the Incredible Hulk, without the whole pigment issue. Seeing his baffled look, she clarified, you're not built for blending in, if you know what I mean. And like all Mayarans, you're kind of, physically distracting.
Ah, does the little human have a crush on me? Zane teased. I'm flattered, Alex, truly.
Alex scrunched her nose at him. You're probably older than the dinosaurs. I'm not too picky when it comes to age, but I'm confident it'd never work out between us. Roka laughed openly, and Kaya giggled behind her hand.
All right, little human, Zane said, clearly amused, even if he didn't want to admit it. It's time to get you back to bed.
With no other warning, he reached down and threw his arms around her waist, hoisting her over his shoulder like a sack of potatoes. Let me down, you brute!
Say goodnight, little human,
he told her. Goodnight, little human, she parroted. Rocca and Kaya tried and failed to hold back more laughter.
Oh, wait, Alex said, as the guard carried her to the doorway. What about your cape, Rocca?
Zane can bring it back to me later, the prince said. It'll keep you warm on your journey to the academy.
Alex watched as Kaya sidled up to Roka's side, wrapping her arms around him as he bent to kiss her forehead lovingly. They waved goodbye to Alex, who tried to return the gesture while Zane manhandled her out of the room. Only when the door was closed behind them did the guard set her down, holding her steady until she regained her footing. He then continued bracing her when the Volus path took off underneath them. This time, though, Zane reached out a hand and pressed it against the transparent barrier. Immediately, the bitter chill of the wind disappeared.
Better?
Zane asked, seeing that she was steadier on her feet with the added protection, not to mention warmer. Much, she agreed, nodding with enthusiasm. Why didn't you do that last time?
Our race is much more durable than yours, he said. Many millennia have passed since we've interacted with humans. I'd forgotten just how vulnerable you can be.
That makes sense, Alex conceded. She watched the scenery as they were transported back through the palace and out into the city. Once again, she was transfixed by the view, which was even more stunning now that she wasn't being buffeted by the wind. All too soon, they zipped past Maya and ventured above the golden cliffs before the Volus path began to speed up again. When they were partway through the Silverwood, Alex turned to look up at Zane. So, Rocca and Kaya, huh? She asked. The tender moment she'd witnessed alluded to something much greater than friendship. Of that, she was certain.
She is to be his wife, Zane told her. And one day, our queen.
Alex smiled at the memory of Roka's words about his betrothed from their first meeting. They're a beautiful couple.
They are, the guard agreed. I couldn't ask for two better friends.
Will you miss them while you're stuck at Akarne?
I'll still see them most days, Zane said, indicating to the Volus path. It's not hard for me to get around.
Handy little roller coaster, Alex thought, as the scenery blurred by at lightning speed. Soon enough, the Volus path began to slow down and Alex could see the lights of the academy glinting in the distance, along with the moon reflecting off Lake Fee beneath their feet. The ride came to an abrupt end when the eternal path moved them straight through the wall of her dorm building and into her room.
This is where I leave you, little human,
Zane said quietly, not wanting to disturb her sleeping roommate. Are you going back to Maya? She asked. And at his nod, she took off Roka's cape and handed it over. I guess I'll see you tomorrow?
You will, he agreed. It's best if you act like you don't know me. At least, not around your classmates. You should also warn your friends to do the same.
Is that for your anonymity? He sent her another crooked smile.
No, Alex. It's so the other humans don't wonder why you're associated with a Maiaran. But I doubt they'll figure out my ancestry considering how much time has passed since one of my kind has been recognized by your race. It's far more likely they'll merely consider me to be intimidatingly large and attractive, as you've already pointed out.
I did not call you attractive, Alex argued hotly. I said you're distracting. That could have meant anything.
Good night, little human.
Zane said with a laugh, ignoring her words.
Get some sleep.
The Volus path took off again, taking the Maiaran guard along with it. Alex shook her head at the spot where Zane had been standing, then stumbled tiredly over to her bed. As she was drifting off to sleep again, she realized that not only Carter, but now Zane as well, would be teaching her combat class the next day. She firmly pushed the thought from her mind, determined to enjoy her last remaining hours of sleep without worrying about what the class might bring.
21.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
Alex groaned at the sound of the way too chirpy voice next to her ear.
Go away,
she mumbled, burrowing deeper into her blankets. Come on, Alex, the voice said. You'll be late for PE if you don't get up.
Don't care,
she mumbled again. Her blankets were yanked away and a rush of cool morning air hit her. She sat up with a yelp, reaching blindly for her lost source of warmth. A quiet snort turned Alex's attention to her roommate, who began heartlessly laughing at her predicament.
Not nice, Dix,
Alex grumbled, running her fingers through her disheveled hair. But it worked, didn't it? Alex didn't waste energy glaring at her friend. Instead, she stood up and grabbed some clean clothes from her wardrobe and headed into the bathroom. Hot running water was a luxury after 2 days in the wilderness, and Alex used the time in the shower to ease her strained muscles and enjoy a few moments of peace before her day began. When she was dressed, she left the bathroom to find DC waiting for her. Feeling better?
Yeah, Alex said. Sorry for being such a grump. I didn't get much sleep.
Are you kidding me? DC said with another laugh. You slept for almost 10 hours straight. You should feel on top of the world right now.
Actually, Alex said, thinking quickly about what she was and wasn't allowed to share. My sleep was interrupted in the middle of the night because Roka wanted to speak with me. DC gaped at her.
The Mayaran prince was here?
No, Zane was, Alex said. He came to escort me to Maya.
It was so cool, Dix. The Volus path took us the entire way. I've never experienced anything like it.
DC was staring at Alex in shock, but then her expression shuddered and she turned her hurt-filled eyes away.
Why didn't you wake me? I would have come with you.
I'm sorry, Alex said, putting every ounce of sincerity into her apology. You were dead asleep, and when I went to wake you, Zane told me not to disturb you. I didn't like it, but I also didn't want to argue with him.
DC tilted her head thoughtfully, her unhappy expression dissolving into a calculating one.
Prince Roka wanted to speak with you privately, didn't he?
Alex wasn't sure how to answer, so she nodded, almost shamefully.
I saw how he looked at the rest of us the other day, DC explained. He doesn't trust us.
No, Dix, that's not...
It's okay, Alex, DC interrupted her. It's not like I don't understand. While he doesn't trust us, it's clear he does trust you. I'm not going to ask what he wanted you for because you're my best friend and I don't want to put you in that position. Keep his secrets, but just know that I'm here if you want to talk, okay?
Alex threw herself across the room to embrace her friend.
Thanks, Dix, she said, hugging her tightly.
You're the best. It's not like I haven't asked you to keep my share of secrets, DC smiled as she pulled away. It looks as though you're the go-to girl for royal confidences.
Woo-hoo, Alex said dryly.
DC shook her head in amusement before saying they had less than half an hour left for breakfast.
Do you mind if we swing by the med ward on your way? Asked Alex as she picked up Fletcher's lab coat. I need to return this to Fletcher.
When they were outside and heading towards the GenSec building, DC said,
Jordan told us about your weekend trip. I can't believe Hunter made you do all that.
It was pretty intense, Alex said.
Total understatement. A few steps later, DC spoke again, quieter this time.
Did you really fight Avon?
Alex shuddered as the memory washed over her.
Yeah.
Or I tried to, at least.
He's really good.
He is Mayaran,
DC reasoned. Still, I heard you held your own long enough to buy some time and get everyone out of there. I was amazed when Jordan said so, especially with all the other gifted people on Avon's side.
We were very lucky, Alex said,
honoring her promise to Roka and keeping her new Mayaran abilities secret.
Nothing more.
DC appeared doubtful.
If you say so.
They dropped off Fletcher's coat and hurried to the food court to eat a quick breakfast. Jordan and Bear were already waiting for them, finishing the last of their meals. After Alex had scoffed down her scrambled eggs on toast, she turned to Jordan and Bear. I have some news. They looked at her curiously, and she drained her juice before speaking again in a whisper. Do you guys remember Zane, the massive guard from Maya?
He's hard to forget, Bear said, and DC and Jordan nodded in agreement.
Well, he visited me last night and told me he's going to be Carter's teaching assistant for a while, Alex said, deliberately leaving out her trip to Maya. DC eyed her shrewdly, but since Alex's words weren't actually false, she didn't think her roommate would call her on them. Jordan and Bear were clearly surprised, and she quickly finished her explanation. He wants us to act like we've never seen him before. It's for our sakes, mostly, since it wouldn't be good for anyone to think we've been in contact with a Maiaran. That said, Zane doesn't actually believe anyone will figure out that he's not human. They'll think he's intimidating and attractive. His words, not mine. She scowled a little when she thought about the guards teasing. Stupid Maiaran.
Why is he coming here? Jordan asked.
Alex thought about her answer carefully before she responded. He's going to be keeping an eye on everything, I guess. They heard about what happened with Avon yesterday, and they seem to think it's a good idea for me to have a babysitter, or something like that. Okay, so she hadn't told the complete truth? But she knew Roka wouldn't be pleased if she gave away Zane's real mission. So she told them what she'd first thought the guard was coming for, and her explanation was believable enough that her friends nodded their acceptance.
Your very own personal bodyguard, Bear said with a smirk. You're moving up in the world, Alex.
I think this is a good thing, Jordan said seriously. I'll sleep better at night knowing Zane is here to keep an eye on you, just in case Avon turns up again. Maiaran against Maiaran is way better than human against Maiaran, that's for sure.
I agree, Alex said, although it is a little annoying.
Annoying might just save your life,
Bear pointed out. The gong rang then, telling them to head off to class. Remember, you don't know who he is, Alex said to DC, who had combat first up.
Amnesia. Got it.
The redhead replied before taking off for the arena, while the rest of them headed to the lake to test their water survival skills in PE. After narrowly avoiding death by drowning, the rest of Alex's day passed from archery, where she had to shoot at moving targets over 100 feet away, to lunch, and finally to equestrian skills, where Tayla made them all participate in a game similar to polo, except they had to ride bareback while sitting backwards. It was remarkably unsafe, in Alex's opinion, but Tayla was adamant that it taught them how to feel the horse's movement underneath them. That, and apparently it was a great exercise to help increase their balance and coordination skills. Alex fell off 3 times, but that was less than most of her classmates. DC landed on her royal behind a total of 7 times, and the others hit the ground even more. Needless to say, everyone was relieved when the class ended. As Alex hobbled from the stable complex to the arena, she wondered how she might get away with skipping her last class. Nothing came to mind, so she stood up a little taller, winced when her backside and shoulder protested from the movement, and entered the colossal structure.
You're late, Jennings, Carter grunted.
Sorry, sir, she said, knowing he wouldn't care to hear about how painful the simple act of walking was.
As I was saying, Carter said, shooting her an irritated look. My new assistant has more experience than most of you will ever have in your lifetime, combined. When he speaks, you listen. Understood?
Alex and her classmates nodded their agreement, and when Carter was satisfied, he called out,
Zane, anything to add?
The Maiaran warrior stepped out from an alcove in the arena's wall, and Alex had to hold back a grin when she heard the indrawn breaths of those around her.
I think they get the point, Zane said to Carter, and if they don't, they will.
Alex wasn't the only one who trembled at the look he leveled at them, but she also knew that Zane was really a teddy bear, albeit one who could land her on her back with a sword at her throat without any effort at all, but still, a teddy bear. Carter smirked at their reactions and ordered,
Run 2 laps around the arena for a warm-up, then grab a wooden staff and find a partner.
They sprinted off as ordered, and when Alex was halfway through her first lap, Caden matched her pace and moved closer.
"Do you want to tell me why there's a Mayaran helping to teach our combat class?"
he whispered, after making sure the others were a safe distance away. Alex schooled her expression into disbelief.
"A Mayaran? Really?"
he snorted.
"Please, Alex, you can drop the act."
"What are you trying to say, Caden?" she asked defensively.
"These days, most people don't remember what Mayarans look like, let alone get the chance to see one in real life," Caden said, echoing Zane's words from the previous night. "Two in the space of as many days is unheard of, but for some reason, I'm not surprised, and you don't look surprised either."
Alex didn't say anything, but simply continued to run while stealing glances at him. She wondered how he seemed to know so much, but there was no way she could ask if she wasn't willing to answer in return.
"Just tell me this. Is he on Avon's side of whatever's going on?"
Caden asked, seeing that she was maintaining her stubborn silence. Alex wasn't going to answer. Really, she wasn't. But after everything he'd been through with her, and the secrets he was already keeping, she couldn't not reassure him.
"No," she whispered. "Zane's one of the good guys."
He sighed loudly. How he did that while running, Alex had no idea, and turned to look at her again.
"I take it I'm not supposed to know he's not human?"
"That would be preferable," Alex said. "He's aiming for anonymity." Caden laughed at the ludicrous idea, and Alex found herself smiling with him. "Well, he's trying for anonymity," she amended.
"He'll probably succeed," Caden admitted. "Very few people would believe that we have a Mayaran on the teaching staff."
His eyes danced with humor as if his words had an added meaning. But they were coming to the end of their second lap, and Alex didn't get the chance to ask if there was more to his comment than she understood.
"Hey, Queenie,"
Sebastian called over to her, ending their conversation.
"Be my partner today?"
"Sure," she agreed, grabbing a staff and following her classmate to a clear space. The warm-up run had loosened her muscles somewhat, but 2 hours later, Alex was feeling every one of her aches again. Zane had done little more than observe the class and offer advice when needed, but she'd noticed him staring at her on more than one occasion.
Talk about unnerving.
Alex was tempted to skip dinner in favor of another hot shower and an early bedtime, but her stomach complained, so she gave in and headed towards the food court to meet her friends. She figured that afterwards she should also pay a visit to Darius to fill him in on her horror-filled weekend. Unless, "Hey, Jordan, is there any chance someone's already spoken with Headmaster Marcel about our SAS trip?" Alex asked as they ate. They were sitting at a table with Mel and Connor, along with a few other fourth-year classmates, so she had to be careful with her words. Fortunately, Jordan knew exactly what she was asking.
"Hunter made sure the headmaster was informed of everything,"
he told her, the tone of his voice revealing more than his actual answer.
"I spoke with him as well, just in case anything was,
left out." Alex smiled at him gratefully. That was one less thing she would have to do, at least. Now, if she could find a way out of her medical science assignment that was due the next day.
"Recently, I had a student come to me and ask an interesting question," said the enigmatic and uncommonly intelligent history teacher, Doc, during class the following week. "This student asked about the historical development of society, specific to our advancement in technology. The question posed was, if society is so advanced, why does a carne still teach students using such an archaic curriculum?"
Alex resisted the urge to sit up straighter, knowing that she was the student Doc was speaking of, but not wanting to draw attention to herself. She'd approached the history teacher in his tower office a few days after the events of the overnight SAS trip, specifically after having witnessed the military outpost and the high-tech stabilizer weapons. Too caught up in the adrenaline at the time, She hadn't wondered until later that if the people of Medora had access to guns, why she and her fellow classmates were running around with bows and arrows and learning old-school combat techniques. That line of thought, which had kept her awake for hours, had also led her to question why they had an entire class devoted to riding horses when, as DC had mentioned during their time strolling along the cobblestone streets of Trillin, most people walked or used bubble doors to travel these days. Out of nowhere, Alex had been burning with questions about why some of the classes at Akarne were so dated when Medora as a world was advanced in so many ways. Feeling like an idiot for never having questioned it sooner, Alex had only been able to justify herself with the realization that ever since her first day at the academy, nothing had made sense to her. So she'd just gone with it in order to retain her sanity. Even the academy's buildings were a juxtaposition of medieval structures alongside futuristic designs. The difference between the tower and the Gensec building alone was startling. But Alex had simply become used to the idiosyncrasies of Akarne and the people inhabiting it. Or at least she had, until she'd seen the stabilizers and the military force and realized that her understanding was seriously lacking, and she needed to fix that pronto.
"I didn't answer the student's question at the time, since I saw it as an opportunity for a refresher that we can all discuss as a class," Doc went on to say. "So let's break this down, shall we? Starting with the history of Akarne. Why you're all here at the academy. Who knows the answer?"
Both Mel and Connor raised their hands in perfect sync, and Alex hid a smile because, as much as they might disagree with her assessment, sometimes she thought they acted more like twins than cousins. Siblings, at the very least. Doc nodded at Mel, who cleared her throat and recited,
"Akarne is the only school in all of Medora for people who are gifted. Every 5 years, the headmaster goes on a scouting expedition to search for kids who qualify for enrollment. Kids who have, or eventually will have, a gift. When they're 14, the qualifying students leave their normal schools behind and come here to complete the remainder of their education. That's why we're here. Because we were discovered through the scouting process."
"Why come here?" Doc asked. "Aside from it being the only school for those with gifts, of course. But why can't students, such as yourselves, continue your tutelage with the rest of the populace?"
"We don't have to come here," Connor spoke up this time, "but Akarne is the best place to teach us how to develop our gifts. If we were at a normal school, we'd just be taking normal classes. But at Akarne, we're in an environment where we can cultivate our abilities and learn how to control them."
"Aha," Doc said, sounding pleased. "Control, Mr. O'Malley, a very important point."
At that, Connor sent a smirk to his cousin, and Alex bit back another smile when Mel responded by pulling a face at him.
"At this point, it's worth mentioning that some scholars believe every human being has a potential gift inside of them, but not all of us are able to connect with or access these personalized giftings," continued Doc. "For those of us who can, we have a responsibility to nurture the supernatural abilities within us. That means we must learn to develop them, to control them, just as Mr. O'Malley said. Tell me, though, have any of you ever wondered why Akarne, a school for the gifted, only has one class dedicated to actively developing your abilities?"
Alex frowned at the question, mentally adding it to the list of things she should have considered long before now.
"After all," Doc continued when no one answered, "Professor Marmaduke's core skills class is the only time you have scheduled to learn control. Would you agree?"
Alex nodded her head along with everyone else, even if in the back of her mind, a small voice scoffed at the very idea of the core skills class, which had,
for as long as she'd taken it, taught her next to nothing. Does anyone perhaps have another opinion? Silent shuffles and fidgeting hands met his question.
Tell me this, then, Doc said. Archery, combat, equestrian skills. These are demanding classes, physically and mentally, which is beneficial for your overall fitness. But they are also hundreds of years after their time. What need have we in this advanced day and age to learn the art of dueling with blades? Why send arrows into moving targets? What point is there in straddling an animal intended as a means for transportation when we have access to near-instant teleportation? What possible reason could there be for us to teach these classes?
Hearing her own questions come from his mouth, Alex was hit with a sudden realization, and she spoke without thinking. It's not about the classes. Doc raised his eyebrows.
Do continue, Miss Jennings.
Feeling the weight of everyone's eyes on her, Alex tried to rally her thoughts. It's just, I wonder if perhaps we're looking at this wrong. We're not learning combat or archery. I mean, we are, but that's not all we're learning in those classes. With an encouraging look, Doc said,
Would you care to extrapolate?
Trying to be as articulate as possible, Alex replied, Core skills is dedicated to us learning how to control our gifts, yes? At Doc's nod, she continued, Well, what if our other classes, particularly combat, archery, and equestrian skills, are also about control? More than control, they're about discipline. We're not learning how to fight each other or ride a horse or whatever else to use those skills in the world outside a carne. But rather, by taking these classes, we're growing our characters. That kind of strenuous training requires strength, patience, endurance, fortitude, and a range of other traits that can only improve us as human beings.
And?
Doc pressed. And, Alex continued. As you said earlier, sir, people with gifts have a responsibility to nurture them. But more than that, I'd like to think we have a responsibility to develop ourselves as human beings as well. That's what these classes offer us. They provide us with the building blocks of discipline and control, both of which, in turn, help us to develop and utilize our giftings. A smile spread across Doc's face, and he raised his hands to applaud her, much to Alex's embarrassment.
Bravo, Miss Jennings, he said. You are indeed correct. Our curriculum isn't in place on the off chance that you'll be transported back in time and have to survive a sword fight on horseback, followed by an archery tournament. Rather, it is to prepare your character for the future and to assist in the learning of control and discipline in every aspect of your lives, including, perhaps especially, your giftings. Once you graduate and leave these walls, it will be up to you what you do with your abilities. You may enter the workplace in a field where you can use your gifts, knowing that people such as yourselves are highly sought after. Or you may decide to put aside your ability and live a normal life. The choice is yours. We can only offer you the chance to make that choice. Being well informed based on what we teach you and how we teach it to you. All that said, Doc continued, deep in teaching mode now, there is still some modern-day relevance for what we learn here, which is especially helpful should you decide to embark into a future where your gift becomes nothing more than an accessory. Equestrian skills, for example, teaches you how to respect beings much larger, stronger, and arguably smarter than yourselves. And if you ever happen upon a situation where you find another creature of mountable size, you'll have some idea of how to gain control over it. As for combat and archery, if after leaving the academy you desire to enter into military service
or seek beyond that to become a warden, your fighting and targeting skills will be required on a daily basis, while more advanced technology is available to those of higher ranks. Swords will always be the most accessible means to end a physically aggressive dispute, or start one, as the case may be. And while bows and arrows aren't common accoutrements for humans outside of the Academy's walls, none can argue that if you can hit a moving target from 200 feet, you can likely shoot any firearm or simply throw a stone with above par accuracy. Wandering back to the front of the room, Doc finished by saying, "The curriculum at Acarne may seem dated, but as we have just outlined, its traditions are timeless. It's all a matter of perspective." With plenty to think about, Alex listened as Doc completed the rest of his class by going over some of the points already raised and expanding on others. She felt better having had some of her questions answered, but there was still one thing she was curious about, not knowing if it was the kind of inquiry she should make to a class full of students, when it might be general knowledge to all Midorans. Alex decided to wait until the end of the day before she sought out the one person who she had a feeling would be able to answer her better than anyone else. "You're a hard guy to track down," Alex said to Caden, having finally found him in the stables after asking what felt like every single person on campus for his location. "Alex," he said, looking at her in question over the back of the horse he was brushing down. "What's up?" She bit her lip and looked away, wondering if she was making a mistake by coming to him. He already knew more about her than he should, but he didn't know everything, and it had to stay that way. However, he had told her that she could come to him if she ever needed anything. "I want to ask you something, but you have to promise not to read into it, and you have to promise not to laugh if you think it's a stupid question," she said, reaching for a curry comb just to have something to do with her hands while she talked. She began grooming the sleek black coat of the horse she knew was named Eclipse, waiting for Caden to agree. "That depends on what you ask," he said, grinning roguishly. "But I must say, I'm intrigued." Alex frowned. So far, their conversation wasn't going to plan, and it had barely begun. But she decided she might as well jump in and see what happened. So she said, "I want to know about the Suri outpost." Caden's entire body jerked, and Alex looked at him in surprise. "What about it?" he asked, his brush strokes becoming visibly tense to the point that Eclipse pinned his ears back in irritation. Caden noticed and relaxed his grip, prompting the horse to relax again, too. Confused by his strong reaction, Alex said, "I want to know why it's there. Midora is a supercontinent currently run by a single monarchy. So why is there an active military force if there's no one to go to war against? And do they use other weapons stronger than stabilizers? Also, I always presumed wardens were more like glorified guards. But now I'm not so sure. Who has more authority, them or the general?" Caden wasn't tense anymore, that was for sure. But Alex almost wished he was, since he was now looking at her with a scrutinizing expression. She swallowed and focused on moving her curry along the barrel of Eclipse's stomach. "No reading into it, remember?" "Hey, at least I'm not laughing," Caden said. "That's one out of two. Take what you can get." "I'd rather a judgment-free answer," Alex responded, with no follow-up questions. "I'll answer you, but I can't promise there won't be follow-up," Caden said, moving further along to brush the curve of Eclipse's apple-shaped rump. "Let's start with the wardens. Don't ever let them hear you call them glorified guards, or it may be the last thing you ever say. And I mean that, Alex." If his serious expression was anything to go by, he really did mean that. "Now, in a not reading into this kind of way, am I right to guess that you don't know much about what Acarne students do after they graduate?"
Alex hesitated. "Hypothetically? Let's go with that,
From here on out, just act like I know nothing.
Caden's lips twitched, drawing Alex's attention to his mouth before she forced her gaze back up to his eyes. Judging by the humor she found in them, she had a feeling she wasn't fooling him at all.
Well then, he said, looking down at what he was doing once more. As you know, there are 5 years of schooling with an additional 2 years on top of that, should any of the instructors invite you to stay on as an apprentice, whether you graduated 18 or 20. A Carnet alumni are always sought after for the top positions in any of Medora's workplaces. It's not so much that we have gifts, though that can definitely be a draw card depending on your career choice, but it's more that our education here is covered, well, everything.
Alex nodded, having just been over most of that in her history class. What does that have to do with wardens?
There are two kinds of wardens. Did you know that?
Before she could respond, Caden said, never mind. Don't answer that.
I forgot that you hypothetically know nothing.
He didn't even try to hide his smile at that.
Wardens fall into one of two categories, swords or shields. The shields are intelligence analysts. They come from all different backgrounds and are usually recruited later in life after having the experience of years behind them. They do most of the stuff outside of the public eye, keeping a finger on the pulse of the world and the people in it, so to speak. They are essentially a shield against any threats made by humans and by others who have their own agendas. Wardens like Bear's dad, William Ronigan, are shields, and they keep us safe mostly by the use of their collective intellect and intuition.
Alex raised her eyebrows, wondering how Caden knew about William, but he continued before she could ask.
Swords, on the other hand, are the field agents, the wardens who deal directly with anything the shields uncover. Swords actively seek out the threats to the kingdom and swiftly neutralize or eradicate them.
Alex couldn't help automatically imagining the Medoran equivalent of James Bond. In place of a tux and a gun, her invented figure wore a cape and held a sword. Strangely, or not so strangely, considering, he looked an awful lot like Hunter.
Other than the obvious, the main difference between the two is that only a Carnet graduates can ever hold positions as swords, and specifically those who have stayed on as apprentices in combat or SAS.
Caden sent her a wry smile as he added,
I'm sure you can figure out how both of those classes are high up on selection criteria for sword applicants.
Alex returned his expression, understanding completely.
So you can see how highly trained, combat ready, stealthy swords, who all have gifts that might not take too well to being referred to as glorified guards, right?
Caden said,
and while shields might not mind as much, they both wear the same uniform, so it's better to be safe than sorry since you may never know which one you're talking to.
Alex quickly nodded her agreement. Then she asked, Warden Jira, you and Declan seemed to recognize her name when I mentioned her after the SAS trip. Is she a sword or a shield? Caden laughed softly as he grabbed a new, softer brush and moved to stroke it down Eclipse's face while Alex reached for a comb to untangle his mane.
Jira's a sword, Caden answered. One of the best.
And, Alex wasn't sure why or if she wanted to know, but she still pressed. Do you know her well?
You could say that.
Caden laughed again at Alex's questioning look. He said,
she's my sister.
Your sister? Alex wasn't able to mask her surprise. But... She thought back over the interactions she'd had with the warden, from first seeing her while locked in the royal dungeon, to having Jira follow her and DC on their day trip through Trillin, and then finally after the mess with General Drock and Alex's bubble door delivery to the palace. She tried to make sense of the events, but all she could do was tilt her head and stare at Caden's face, trying to find some resemblance between them. True, they shared the same dark hair and bright blue eyes, and Jira's features were just as striking, but... Nope, there were no buts about it. Now that Alex was looking for it, she couldn't miss it. However, without having been told, She never would have picked it on her own.
That's really cool, she said just for something to say, and as a means to not feel like such an idiot for staring at Caden longer than was appropriate.
I like your sister. She's helped me out a few times now.
I know she has.
Caden responded with an amused gleam in his eyes that told Alex he knew more than he was letting on.
What?
To answer the rest of your questions, he interrupted, because of everything I just mentioned, wardens do rank higher than military. They're technically a separate entity, but sometimes their assignments overlap, and when that happens, they outrank the general. Their word is law.
Got it, Alex said,
having seen firsthand that Drock had afforded a level of deference to Jira.
What were the other things you wanted to know? Caden asked. Why there's a military and what weapons they have?
Said like that, you make me sound like I'm gathering intel against them or something, Alex murmured, untangling the final knot in Eclipse's mane and dropping the comb back in with the other grooming tools.
I guess I'm just going to have to hope that you won't use this information for evil,
Caden said with a smirk.
I'm trusting you here, Alex. Don't make me regret it.
Before she could think of a response, he reached for Eclipse's halter and untied the now gleaming horse, leading him into a stall and locking him in for the night.
Come on. I'll tell you how to overthrow the monarchy on the walk back, Caden said,
pressing his hand gently to the curve of Alex's spine and guiding her down the aisle past the other stalls of curious-looking equines. She tried to ignore the pleasant warmth she felt through her clothes, where his hand was, and failed abysmally at doing so. Only when they were outside again did he drop his hand, allowing her to focus on his words rather than his presence beside her.
Weapons I can't tell you much about, Caden said as they headed up through the grassy fields towards the campus proper. You have to admit, that's a strange question for you to ask me.
Alex felt him looking at her, but she kept her head forward, shrugging slightly. You seem to know a lot more about the stabilizers than anyone else. I figured you were the best person to ask.
And not your royal best friend?
Alex shrugged again, having no answer for that.
Well, as I said,
Caden picked up, letting Alex's lack of answer slide.
I don't know much, but from what I've heard, stabilizers are about as lethal as it gets. There's been peace amongst humans in the kingdom for thousands of years, so there hasn't been a need to develop anything more than the basics, especially since a sword or arrow can kill just as easily, if not more so.
No weapons of mass destruction, then? Caden cocked his head at her terminology and she explained. You know, bombs, explosive devices that blow large areas up at a time, killing lots of people at once.
Why would we have something like that?
He asked, looking appalled by the idea.
Who would we want to kill?
No, it's good you... We don't, Alex assured him, reaching out to squeeze his arm before quickly dropping her fingers to her side again. I was just making sure. Shaking his head, Caden said.
The military isn't for going to war against humans, Alex. That hasn't happened for millennia. Not since well before Akarne opened. Back when there were places in this world that people wanted enough to fight each other over.
Alex immediately thought of the library, knowing that battles had been waged over it for hundreds of years until it disappeared. She nodded and asked, Then why?
Medora is populated with more than just humans.
Caden looked at her in a way that made her realize what he was saying was common knowledge, and yet he was still humoring her act-like-I-know-nothing request.
While we've never gone to war against any of the other races in recent years, that doesn't mean we're not prepared if such an event were to take place. Not that we'd stand much of a chance against them. Any of them. Mayarins may be at the top of the food chain, but the others can hold their own. We humans are, by comparison, relatively powerless. But if something ever did require a defense on our part, we have an active military in place for that very reason.
Mulling over all the information he'd given her, Alex found that she had no questions remaining. At least, that was the case until...
There are, of course, the threats posed from beings in other worlds.
Alex literally stumbled at his words. But as far as I know, we haven't yet encountered anyone who means us harm. So again, it's just a precaution.
Alex forced herself to regulate her breathing and fought the temptation to look at him to gauge his expression. With her eyes focused on the approaching tower building, bathed in gold from the setting sun, she grappled to bring her thoughts together.
He couldn't possibly know about her. Surely he couldn't. He would have said something, told someone, demanded answers. No, it was purely chance that his final words were so relevant to her personally.
When she mustered the courage for a quick glance at his face, she was relieved to find him relaxed and at ease, with no evidence of him knowing more about her than he should.
"Does that answer everything?" he asked, as they walked past Gensec and towards the food court.
"You don't want to know the blueprints for any secret bases or how to assemble an ITD in under 5 minutes?"
Alex didn't know what an ITD was, but she figured she was already treading a dangerous line with Caden, and it was best not to ask any further questions that could show just how naive to the ways of Medora she really was.
"Nothing else. You were perfect," she said. Then realizing how that sounded, she fought the heat rising in her cheeks and amended, "I mean, you've been perfect." She wanted to smack herself in the face. "As in, you've answered my questions perfectly. That's what I meant."
Caden chuckled warmly.
"Well, in that case, I'm glad I could help."
They came to a stop outside the food court, lingering near the entry.
"I'm going to go clean up before dinner," Caden said, nodding in the direction of the dorm building.
"Right," Alex said, her hands fidgeting by her sides. "I'll just..." She gestured towards the food court, indicating that she was heading in there. "I'll see you later, Caden, and thanks again for,
being perfect."
His eyes sparked with mischief, and she felt her still warm cheeks heat further in reaction to the smile he sent her.
"Don't make me regret coming to you," she grumbled half-heartedly, knowing she deserved his teasing after her accidental gaffe.
"I wouldn't dream of it," he replied, very clearly struggling not to laugh. But then his face turned serious, and he stepped closer, almost intimately closer, and lowered his voice to say,
"Remember what I told you, Alex. You can always come to me. For anything, anytime. Okay?"
Swallowing around her suddenly emotion-clogged throat, Alex was unable to form a verbal response, so she just nodded her agreement.
"Good," he said, reaching forward until his fingers tangled with hers for a fraction of a second, before he squeezed gently and let her go. "You go eat, and I'll catch you later."
Fingers tingling, she nodded mutely again. When it looked like he was waiting for her to enter the food court before he left, she spun around and walked through the doors. As she moved away, it took everything in her not to turn and look back over her shoulder to see if he was still watching.
22. The next 2 months passed much faster than Alex would have liked. As November drew to a close, her classes became impossibly intense, with the teachers firing assignment after assignment at their students before the term ended for the Caldoras holidays. While the theory-based classes were straining her mind to its limits, Alex's practical classes also became more strenuous. PE was close to the top of the list, and Finn seemed to take particular pleasure whenever one of them had to be carried off to the medical ward. But PE wasn't the only class that resulted in one or more students having to visit the resident doctor. Alex found herself in the medical ward on an almost daily basis, for a variety of reasons, much to Fletcher's displeasure. The first time was after she became wedged between her saddle and a tree trunk in one of her equestrian skills classes. In her defense, an odd-looking reptilian creature had spooked her horse and caught them both by surprise. She was relieved the torn ligament in her knee hadn't led to her falling off to become the reptile's next meal.
Another tree landed her back in Fletcher's domain when she sprained her wrist getting caught in one of Hunter's traps during an SAS fake stakeout one night. It was still, clearly, her favorite class. Not. The following week, she had to see Fletcher after having a violent allergic reaction to something in her medical science class. They were looking at the properties of different animal blood when Alex accidentally brushed her fingers against a murky brown swab labeled with the scientific name Deus Milo Phylarctos. She was rushed to the medical ward when she began throwing up within seconds of the sample touching her skin. Fletcher kept Alex in the ward for 12 hours, all of which she slept away after her energy was sapped from the sudden and debilitating sickness. Despite her illness, Alex recovered surprisingly quickly, which meant it was straight back to classes for her, and that, of course, led to her next trip to the medical ward when she was knocked unconscious in combat later that week. She maintained that Zane concussed her on purpose, since he'd deliberately chosen her to help demonstrate a new fighting technique. He'd apparently overestimated her fighting ability. Either that, or he must have expected her to fight like a Mayaran, which was something she was keeping a tight rein on. On her fifth trip to the medical ward, she wasn't alone. Everyone in Fitzy's gamma chemistry class was treated after a noxious gas infiltrated their laboratory. That, at least, hadn't been Alex's fault. Nor was it her fault when all fourth-year students were quarantined for 48 hours after coming in contact with a sick fufu in their species distinction class. That's right, a fufu. As cute as the name was, it didn't come anywhere close to describing the adorable creatures. Alex's heart had melted when she first saw the multicolored little balls of fluff. Like every other girl in her class, and some of the boys, too, she hadn't been able to hold back her cooing baby voice when the fufus looked up at them with their big puppy dog eyes, all but asking to be picked up and cuddled, which is exactly what Alex and the others had done. By the time class ended, everyone was sniffling and sneezing, Varen included, and after a quick examination by Fletcher, they were sent to his infectious diseases isolation room. The illness they'd contracted was the equivalent of a 24-hour bug, but the doctor kept them for twice that long to make sure they were no longer contagious. Despite that particularly miserable experience, Alex couldn't deny that she wanted a fufu of her own. One of the few classes that didn't land Alex in the medical ward was core skills. If anything, though, a trip to visit Fletcher could have only helped improve the subject. For Alex, the class was beyond tedious, since her gift was more like an on-off switch than anything else, with it always turned on. She didn't have to learn control, unlike most of her classmates with their various abilities. Despite not needing to practice using her gift, Alex was experimenting a little to see if her willpower could progress beyond herself. Professor Marmaduke had put the idea in her head at the end of the previous year, and since then Alex had wondered if she could share her gift with others in a similar way to Jordan's transcendence. So far, Alex hadn't been capable of doing anything different. Then again, she had no way of judging if she actually achieved what she was trying, which led her full circle back to believing that core skills was a waste of her time, even if she did now understand the bigger picture behind what it was teaching, at least according to Doc's insight into the reasons for the Academy's ancient curriculum. If nothing else, she could say that her core skills classes remained predictable, unlike her SOSAC class, or rather the teacher. Ever since Alex had returned from her SAS weekend adventure, Casper Lennox had taken an unexpectedly keen interest in her. Whenever she entered his room, his dark eyes found her. If she looked up from taking notes, his gaze was on her. When she left his class, his eyes followed her. The Shadow Walker was already creepy enough without this bizarre stalker-like development. Fortunately, he didn't approach her outside of his classroom. She never saw him anywhere else, but she often had to resist the urge to wait behind after his lessons to confront him about his disturbing stares. Her friends claimed it was all in her head, and while she didn't agree with them, she chose to follow their advice and let it go. but that was easier said than done.
Miss Jennings, please remain behind after class.
Alex was startled by the unexpected interruption. 1 minute Casper Lennox had been speaking about the lords and ladies of Devereux House circa 200 years ago, and the next he was asking her to stay back after his lesson. At her hesitant nod, he continued his discussion as if there had been no change of topic. Baffled didn't come close to describing how Alex felt. She was so intrigued by the Shadow Walker's request that she barely paid attention to the rest of his class. Thankfully, there were only a few minutes left before the gong rang, and her friends and classmates filed out the door, leaving her alone with the professor. Casper Lennox sat on the edge of his desk and did nothing but stare at her for a full minute. It was unnerving to the point where Alex found herself fidgeting under his gaze. Sir, she asked when she couldn't take the silence any longer. Have I done something wrong?
Not yet, he said,
his musical voice floating over to her.
But the future isn't set in stone. I have no way of knowing the choices you'll make.
It was now Alex's turn to stare.
Never before have I come across a human quite like you,
Casper Lennox murmured pensively. Alex thought he might have been complimenting her until he added,
I've never known anyone who could find themselves surrounded by so much trouble in such a short amount of time. You truly are a unique individual.
Thanks? Really, how is she supposed to respond to that? The Shadow Walker continued to stare at her, but then Alex realized he wasn't staring at her so much as through her. It was like he was looking for something else. Something only he could see.
The shadow surrounds you, he said, his bottomless eyes slightly unfocused. But the light within you, I've never seen anything like it. Even the day riders pale in comparison.
His words left Alex feeling completely lost. She wasn't sure what question to ask first, so she settled on, What's a day rider? Casper Lennox blinked a few times until his eyes cleared again, and when he spoke, he acted as if she hadn't.
Alexandra, we're all born with shadow inside us, but as with anything, it's up to us to decide what we do with that shadow. We can succumb to its power, or we can overcome it and use it. Our level of control depends upon our ability to resist the shadow's hold on us. It's a choice we must all make.
He paused, apparently waiting for Alex to respond. I'm sorry, sir, but I'm not sure I understand what you're telling me, or why, Alex admitted. When you say we, do you mean your race? And are you talking about shadow essence, like with your cape and my ring, that sort of thing? Casper Lennox looked at her steadily and continued more quietly than before.
Sometimes the shadow can overwhelm us. The power it offers? The temptation can be too strong to resist. If we yield to it, it's almost impossible to return to the light, unless there's someone willing to help us find our way back.
Alex was well and truly confused, finding herself with more questions than answers. But before she could figure out what to ask the professor, he snapped his head to the side as if he'd heard an unexpected noise in the room.
Remember my words, Alexandra,
he said, rising from his seat, with the ever-present cloud of shadows swirling around his feet.
Remember my warning.
When she continued to look at him in bewilderment, he added a firm, You're dismissed. She had little choice but to leave, despite the fact that she didn't know why he'd asked her to remain behind in the first place.
What was that about?
Jordan asked when she met her friends in the food court for dinner a few minutes later.
I have no idea, Alex said, shaking her head in bemusement.
Huh, Jordan hummed, but he let the subject drop, probably sensing her confusion. Any chance you can help me with my chem assignment, Bear? DC asked their friend, pulling some broccoli from her stir-fry and wrinkling her nose at the vegetable.
I don't get what Fitzy wants me to do with the Gorgonite. Is it supposed to react in water or in the air, or just when it's heated up?
I finished that assignment a few days ago, Jordan jumped in before Bear could answer. I can help if you want.
Alex looked at Bear to find him glancing back at her with an equally knowing and amused look on his face. In their eyes, Jordan was so obvious. But amazingly, DC seemed oblivious to his increasing attention of late.
At first, Jordan had kept his intentions subtle. He'd walked DC to class, asked her to hang out with him in the rec room, and offered to study with her in the library, as un-Jordan-like as that was. But lately he'd stepped up his game, much to Alex and Bear's entertainment.
You don't mind? DC asked, looking at him from under her eyelashes.
Alex hid a smile and wondered if perhaps her roommate knew exactly what Jordan was doing. What a conniving little princess. Alex almost laughed out loud at the idea of DC knowing all about Jordan's infatuation, because that meant she wasn't discouraging him, which in turn meant she, just possibly, reciprocated his feelings. Alex could already imagine their cute little strawberry blonde children frolicking around the palace years into the future.
What are you thinking about, Alex? You have a weird look on your face. She coughed awkwardly and said, I was just thinking about cheese.
Cheese? Really?
You know, mozzarella, she added, seeing their disbelieving expressions. It tastes so good, all stretchy and, flavorsome. Like rubber.
To add emphasis to her nonsensical words, she picked up the slice of pizza in front of her and bit into it.
Mmm-ing, as she chewed.
Right, DC said, looking at her strangely.
Anyway,
Alex was relieved when they returned to their conversation and the attention left her again. She swallowed her mouthful and glanced up to watch Bear's twinkling eyes. He probably knew exactly what she'd been thinking, most likely because he'd been thinking the same thing. She mock glared at him, and his grin widened.
All right, enough chemistry,
Bear said a few minutes later, and Alex nearly choked on her food at his double meaning.
Let's talk about Caldoris.
What's to say? Jordan asked.
I can't wait for Gammy's apple pie.
Alex felt her mouth watering in anticipation. Bear's grandmother made the best food Alex had ever tasted. When she'd stayed with the Ronigans last Caldoris, she'd been introduced to Gammy's famous apple pie, and she could honestly say it was too incredible for words.
I spoke with Mum yesterday, and she asked me to confirm you're all coming back to Woodhaven with me, Bear said. You know I'm in, mate,
Jordan said, shoving a meatball into his mouth and swallowing quickly.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Me too, Alex agreed, mentally replaying a recent discussion she'd had with her parents about the upcoming holiday.
Alex had been visiting her mother and father at least once a month to check in on them, and thankfully they rarely asked any in-depth questions about what they referred to as her elf problem. It seemed they were content to accept that Akarne was the best place she could be. Alex, for her part, had decided she was better off not updating them on her latest encounters with Avon, instead opting for the what they don't know won't hurt them mentality. During their most recent visit, she had asked if they were okay with her spending the holidays with Bear's family again. It turned out that her parents were anticipating being up to their elbows in what they'd discovered to be fossilized bat guano. The library was scarily well detailed with its depiction of the ancient Freyan ecosystem, so Alex's mother and father had accepted her request to stay with her friends for Caldoris. She was beyond relieved, given that the alternative was for her to spend the Christmas equivalent buried alongside them in long-dead animal droppings. Thanks, but no thanks.
Dix, how about you?
Bear asked.
Yeah, my parents said I can come, DC said. It was easier to convince them since your dad's a warden.
This also happened to be one of the main reasons Alex's parents were so accepting of her request to leave the safety of the academy.
But
I think they're a little nervous, especially with you-know-who running around out there.
Alex snorted into her glass of water, and her friends turned to look at her.
Sorry, your words just surprised me, she said. Well, I can't exactly shout his name in the middle of the food court, can I? Even though she knew the question was rhetorical, Alex couldn't help but chuckle and say, next you'll be calling him he who must not be...
Good evening, students,
interrupted Zane's deep voice as he approached their table.
Alex, do you have a moment?
She nodded and stood to her feet. The other students had become more used to his intimidating presence, but he was still a sight to behold, especially when he did something as normal as walk through the food court. Plus, he was decked out in full warrior gear, as per usual, including his sword and various other weapons strapped to his belt, along with his bow and quiver of arrows slung over his shoulder. Alex mentally shook her head as she followed him out the doors and away from the buildings. She had no idea what he'd been thinking with his intention to remain anonymous. But for whatever reason,